Okay, so let's get started. So we were doing, we were talking about different things related to parv, different things related to meat and dairy and the kitchens and the kelim, the utensils for meat and dairy. So we're up to section yud, kelei parva. So he says, mitzad adin ein tzorech lachazik kelei parva. He says, according to the halacha, you don't need to have parva kelim. Why? Let's say you want to have part of it with milk, meat, the cooking of food, and you want to have part of it with meat, part of it with dairy. You can use a clean meat or dairy pot. It doesn't make a difference. Which again, this is sort of following his personal opinion, where he thinks that since the metal pots don't really give us so much flavor, we can be very lenient about them. But definitely there would be those who would disagree with this premise. Well, on the fall, Rabbi Nuagim Ladir Lahazi Kli Parva. Maybe you'll do have a Kli Parv, a Parv Kli. Kede Lahin Bahem Machalim She'et Chalkam Rotim Lacholim Basar, Bet Chalkam Chalab, because they have foods that they want to eat some with meat, some with dairy. Echatami Lehidur, one of the reasons why you should be Mahadir, Chashash Shema, Litim Eminakim the Kilim Hatev, the Shabbam Tam Basar Chalab. Number one, maybe the reasoning he gives, because maybe the kelim weren't really cleaned out so well, and there's some time inside. He draws in the nasen of huzalat mechira kelim. Right. So today, when kelim are very inexpensive, so it's very easy to have parv kelim. It used to be in the old day a pot that was mamash once in a lifetime purchase to buy a pot. Right. People keep their pots for 50, 60, 70 years. In a lifetime, they would keep pots. So to have special pots for things that are not meat, not dairy, it's crazy. But today, where you can buy things very cheap, right? You go to Amazon, you can get like a 12-piece cooking set for, you know, $50, $60. So then people are, it's much easier to be machmir and to have parv kelim.
Sorry, what's the concern?
Rabbi Simon, sorry to interrupt you. Rabbi Simon, guys, we have a big problem. They cook five guys in the
concern is that what? If you want to eat that item with meat?
Yeah. So a couple of items. Number one, he says the reason why people are mehader is because we're afraid that maybe the kelim are not cleaned well. And there'll be tam basar or tam chalav.
So meaning kelim par is stuck. You cannot put dairy, you cannot put meat. It's stuck. You can't put. Use it at all. Once you use it, then you have a big problem.
Correct. So he's saying that some people keep kelim that are only parv. So concern number one is that he mentions over here is because maybe that you got kelim that don't get cleaned well and they have some residue of meat or milk. So that becomes a much greater problem if you want to eat it with the other. Mean, that's number one.
So what are you going to do with parv? What are you going to do with the kelim?
Let me just finish the concerns and then I'll try to take your question, Johnny, okay?
Okay.
So concern number two is that maybe if you follow the stricter opinions and who hold, that you can't lechatechila cook in a dairy pot with intention to eat it with meat or vice versa. So I don't know the answer, but potentially that may apply even if there are two, even if you want to eat it with both dairy and meat, right? Separately, so maybe that potentially would be a problem as well. So that's another reason to have a parv pot. And reason number three is that when it comes to davar charif, so lechatchila, again, not Rabbi Malamed, but I'm saying, but according to others, lechatchila would try to be machmir by davar charif, that the pot is notein tam by davar charif. So for those three reasons, it's a good idea to have parv pots.
But it doesn't make you meat or dairy, aside from davar charif, regular stuff.
Again, if you cook pasta in a dairy pot, are you allowed to eat meat right afterwards? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So that's l'chulei alma. L'chulei alma, you don't have to wait 6 hours in either direction.
Right.
If something was cooked in a meat pot. The only issue, right, is if you want to eat it with
that
other meat proper. And then for Sephardim, it's really an issue if you if you plan to actually mix it with the other min. That's when it really becomes working, an issue. Even that, again, there are those who are lenient.
Working under his understanding of it being less of a problem, like his kiddush of it not being a problem,
right?
Would he be okay not only with let's say eating par food cooked in a dairy pot with meat, but also I guess I keep bringing this up, and I have a hard time retaining it. Like cooking it again in a meat pot with meat, is there a difference? I mean, you're heating it again in a clear ishan in the other means thing with that opposite mean.
So that case is more kal. That case is better because than actually mixing it with. I mean, you're saying you're comparing. Let's say I cook pasta in a meat pot. So you're contrasting mixing it with cheese and recooking it in a dairy pot. Is that what you're asking?
With cheese.
Oh, well, I mean, once you're mixing it with cheese, I don't think it makes a difference whether you're in a dairy pot, you're mixing it with cheese, or you're in a non-dairy pot.
It wouldn't make a difference if like there's a heat source, if it's a clear ishan, or if it's...
I don't know. Once you're actually mixing it together, there's not such a distinction made. Because eating meat with cheese proper, whether it's cold or whether it's cooked or whatever it is, it doesn't make such a difference. You don't want to eat, if you to the extent that you treat the food that was cooked in a meat pot as meat, so then you don't want to eat it with dairy in any way, shape, or form. Only if you go into there's no actual cheese, so then you have a pure not bar not case, so that should be okay.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay. Now, minaged, so we saw, so hidur zen na'asad nafutz, sorry, was it that part? Now, Johnny, you had a question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, now I'm still stuck with that parv parv.
Okay,
so what about it? It really bothered me exactly. It's once you, I don't know if it was meat inside, that's because now you can make it meat pot. If it was inside the dairy, and then it make it dirty, and then you could change the format. You're changing the format. You made it already. You transferred from parv to dairy, or dairy to or parv to meat. So you cannot reverse it. You can't bring it back unless you have to do wash it well. Put a hot water, boiling water, wait 24 hours. That you could kashrut it, that's okay. For dairy, I don't know, how about dairy? We do kashrut it like meat, or what more lenient, meat or dairy?
Same thing. A parv pot is a pot that has never been used for meat, never been used for dairy. That's a parv pot. It's only used for things that are not meat or dairy. Once you use it for meat or dairy, so it's no longer parv.
Okay.
And therefore, you would have to kosher it to make it parv again.
Yeah. I can make a parv again. You cannot make parv again. Oh, yeah, you're right.
You could.
Right.
You kosher
it. Right. You make it new. You make it new. That makes parv. Okay.
Correct.
My question is, a spoon or fork touch in that space, that's considered, you make it the thing meat or dairy. If you have parv, you have a parv and you put a spoon, dairy spoon or a meat spoon, that touch inside,
that's okay because it should be, that case should be a not bar not case. That case should be a case where it's tam sheni. It's secondary tam, and therefore wouldn't affect the status of the food inside. Should be. Okay. So mineged, on the other hand, yesh ma'adifim milechatchila shelo la'achzi kli parva. There are those who are careful not to have a kli parva. They don't want to have kli parva. People get confused. People aren't really so used to it, and it's hard to keep it separate. Okay, they may come to mix things up. Okay, So anyway, so people, some people don't do it specifically because it leads to more confusion. I think people do it more than they don't do it. L'nuagim l'shtamesh b'kli parva, im ta'u b'shlu b'kli parva ma'acha b'sari o chalavi, ma'achshiv b'kli l'achzor l'masav parva. As Johnny said, that if you use it for meat or dairy by accident, so then it's fine. So do hagalah, it comes parva again. Im nishpach alav chalav, or rote b'sari roteach, and if milk or boiling sauce pours on it, so then we dry the sauce. So then you pour hot water on that spot in order for it to stay parv.
Okay? A spoon or a fork that are hot, it doesn't cause me case that you make the pot you get make dairy or dairy or meat.
No, again, because the flavor is not barnat. Any tam that goes into the parv pot is secondary tam, and secondary tam is okay. So therefore, it wouldn't be a problem.
It doesn't matter if it be hot or cold. Okay.
Correct. Now, mitzad hadin mutar lahadiach b'madiach o b'kiyor et klei parva im kelim b'sarim o chalavim. Wow. Misaradin, you'd be allowed to wash parv kelim in the sink or in the dishwasher. Behem notrim parv, they stay parv. Omnam kasher midubar madiach garua shenotarot bo sherit shumanim umachalim. But if you have a dishwasher that's not so strong and you have residue of food, ein madiach bo klei parv im kelim misarim umachalim. Don't wash parv kelim with mitar milk. Behem bekiyor, so too in the sink. If you soak things either with very hot water or for a day or longer, I have to say this is actually one of the hardest parts of having parv kelim is washing them. You're not going to have a third parv sink.
You don't need a parv sponge or that you need?
So I don't know. It's a good question. There's actual food. There's food residue. So I don't know how you get away with it because of the food residue.
I heard in the name of Mrs. Bitton that you don't even need one technically meikar hadin between meat and dairy. You could technically use one sponge.
Well, that's I assume that's because of the soap, because the soap makes all the tam.
I would think if that's the case, there wouldn't be a difference between.
Yes, certainly, but people don't rely on that, as far as I know,
right.
Between meat and dairy. So certainly, it's not certainly, but along the same lines,
if you accidentally wash the thing in the wrong place, then you don't have to hug a lot. Or with that.
I'm a little familiar, hold on. Sorry, I'm a little frozen. You start again? Sorry, one more time.
If you accidentally wash the wrong utensil or pot in the wrong dish,
So usually you end up being okay because of the soap. Usually the soap is your savior. That's
you're
usually
gonna be using really hot case. Water.
Right. As long as you have soap, so we assume that any time that's gonna go between the sponge and the clean and vice versa is gonna become pagum in the soap. And therefore, it's not actually going to. So almost always, at the end of the day, also you have other svarot lahakel because sometimes it's cliche ni. It's not kli rishon. You have other factors that help you out in those cases. But especially if there's soap, usually the soap is usually a good reason to be making. Okay. Na lechatchila b'diavad. Okay. So he says, achen ze echad mi'abilbulim sha'alim lihivatzer mekli haparva. This is one of the confusions that can come from having parv kelim. Shafrada burav shebein basar lechalav metashteshet v'lachen yesh mehadrim la'akot tamid et klei haparva b'nifrad. Okay, so it's a good hidur, he says, to cook the parv kelim, to wash the parv kelim separately. Don't wash them, even though technically you could wash them with the meat and the milk, but don't, because of the confusion, the mix-ups, etc. And therefore, it's advisable to cook it in that way. Now, he doesn't really explain why what exactly he's relying on when he says that you could wash the parv kelim with the meat and the dairy kelim. Is he relying on the soap? Is he relying on the fact that any tam that comes from the kli is not barnat? It could be. What exactly you do with any residue that's on the kelim? I guess that's not really a concern because it doesn't go. There's no kli rishon. Doesn't really get absorbed. Why he's not worried about Iri, I'm not sure. But that seems to be what his approach is. But I think Lamasa, the person does have power of kelim, which I think it makes things a little bit easier. If you have power of kelim, you don't have to deal with a lot of the questions. If you have power of kelim, so then also they should be washed separately. Okay. Let's talk about mistakes. Let's talk about mistakes, okay? Section Yud Aleph. So when we cook a par food in a meat pot, sorry, my internet's a little unstable here. Don't use a dairy spoon. Now, so again, if you have a meat pot and you have a dairy spoon, so in that case, the food is okay, and as long as everything is clean, the food is okay, and the kaf, the spoon, doesn't need to have any hechsher. Okay, now, ta'av yirev tafshil bisari bekaf matachel chalavit olahepech. But let's say this happens, right? A person is cooking a meat dish, his chalent, and he uses a dairy spoon. So ima kaf haitan nekiya, b'diavad tafshil kashir, holo bekaf matachel nekiya ina poleset tamim. So again, this is, again, l'shitato, that he thinks that metal kelim are not polet. L'halacha, we don't hold that way. So then you would have to figure out if you have shishim keneged the spoon, at least the part of the spoon, presumably, that went into the kli, right? Went into the food.
If it's a spoon that was not used in 24 hours.
Yeah, but if it's Eino Ben Yomo, then, okay, good question. So if it's Eino Ben Yomo, if it's a Ben Yomo spoon, so then I have Ben Yomo flavor in going into my food. That's a problem, right? I have Ben Yomo dairy flavor going into my chunt. That's a problem. So only if I have Bitul, it's going to be okay.
But it's interesting. He doesn't resort to Ben Yomo.
Yeah, it's according to his opinion on Ben Yomo that it doesn't absorb, or it's according to everybody if it's not Ben Yomo.
Right, it's like not his thing. Usually people use that lehakel. He uses the metal. He's not really so into the whole.
Right, correct. Exactly. Right? So if it's Eino Ben Yomo, so then the tam that comes out is tam pagum, and that tam pagum that comes out doesn't affect the food. Okay? Now, so you need hechsher for the spoon. Leitim mevashlim ba'et uvana achat ala kiryan tavshil b'sari v'tavshil chalavi o parva b'sir matachel chalavi im nitaz rotev ma'asir b'sari al defanot asir ha'chalavi kevan shekulo haya roteach kulo tzarih hechshara b'hagala. Okay, so let's say I'm cooking a dairy pot and a meat pot next to each other, right? Dairy food and meat food next to each other at the same time. So if one of them were to spray on the other one, so then I have a problem. So that I would have to be machshir the kli. I have to kasher the kli. Ulam hatavshil shebetocho kasher hu v'atam eino over elav manita zerach hamatachet. So he says that the tam doesn't go in through the matachet. Now that's a little, that's all supposing. Outside? So something splatters on the outside. So he's discussing whether or not the inside, let's say I'm cooking chalent in a pot on the stove, a metal pot, and then a dairy, I'm also cooking dairy next to it. Let's say it's Erev Shavuot. So I'm preparing for a meat meal and for a dairy meal. And some of the dairy splatters on the outside of the meat pot.
That itself
needs hechsher.
Why? Why you need hechsher? Because you're not cooking the outside on the pot. We're talking about only the inside.
No, but yes, but the flavor gets absorbed into the walls of the pot.
The walls of the pot.
Outside and inside walls are the same, basically.
It's the same wall. So I have meat coming into the pot from the inside wall. I have dairy coming into the pot from the outside wall. Now I have meat and dairy in my pot. My pot's tzareif, not kosher. Needs hechsher. That's what he says. So, but he's being makil on the food inside the pot, which is actually an extremely complicated sugya in Shulchan Aruch of tipat chalav shenafla b'tzad hakedera. So it's from the halacha, you really should require shishim. It's just a question of how to measure that shishim. But let's assume you need shishim against whatever splattered on the outside of the kli. But he says that since matacha doesn't give off taste, so therefore it's okay.
But it's strange that there's some lack of consistency here, where he talks about if you accidentally put a dairy spoon in a pot of chalent, how the chalent is okay, but that you need to kasher the dairy spoon. But if he holds that matechet is like glass, you should lechatchila be able to use it back and forth.
One second. So, Jerry, you say that one more time?
I said he was saying in the second case there that, like, let's say you accidentally use a dairy metal spoon in a meat pot of food.
Right.
It's bedi'avad okay, but then you need to kasher the dairy spoon.
Right, because even though the dairy spoon doesn't give off taste, but I don't think he uses that svara lechatchila. I don't think he doesn't hold lechatchila. I'm allowed to use, dairy kelim for, I can't use one pot for meat and milk, one right after the other, right? Mm. Even though he thinks that metal's not really bolea, I don't think he's using that svara lechatchila. I'm sorry?
That's why I sent that last week from the chapter, whatever, later on. He doesn't use it. He doesn't use it himself. He just says...
Oh, right.
Well, that's whether it's hechsher or not, right?
Yeah, he just said practically that works, but we see that the chachamim were very chamur, even on multiple things, so you should still be chamur on this.
Right. So, but again, I don't think he allows anybody to use the same pot for meat and milk, one right after the other, or anything like that. I don't think he does that. Just I think what he's saying is... things that are bidiyavad, so he's more flexible, he's more willing to be lenient. Right. So therefore, not barnat, which is okay bidiyavad, so he's more willing to be flexible. You know, so similarly, when in this case where you accidentally stuck the spoon in, so he's willing to be flexible. Okay.
Okay,
let's see note 10. Okay, so kli etz v'cheres. V'chol sharim shevolim u'potim tamim, bishel ma'achal parva v'sir etz b'sari, v'kaf etz chalavit v'neyoman, v'lo haya b'tavshio pishishim, k'neged hasir u'k'neged hakaf, ha'tavshio asur, v'akilin srichim hagala. Okay. So if everything is ben yomo, so we can extrapolate from what he says over here. We can extrapolate to what we hold about matachat, about metal, right? So this I made a mistake before. I said something a little different. So I'm not going to tell you my mistakes. I don't want to confuse you any further. But this is a more correct way to look at Mazachet, okay? So if everything is Beniomo,
does it apply only just metal and plastic, or just metal?
I mean, everything, we hold that everything is pole tam, so except for maybe glass, but we hold that if you're cooking, I mean, you can't really cook in plastic. Plastic melts. But in theory, plastic is no tin ham also. So anyway, so he says that if it's something which is pole tam, so if the pot and the kli are both ben yomo, so then the tavshil is asur, and the kelim need hagala. Im haya pishishim kenegem mashi nechnas me'akaf lasir, but if you had 60 times the volume of the spoon that went into the pot, Hatavshil kasher, the hakaf tzricha hagala, and the tavshil is okay. The spoon is hagala, but asir eno tzarich hagala. The pot does not need hagala. However, atam shiyatzam mekaf hitzbatel b'shishim. So the kaf needs hagala, but nothing else. Everything, the food is okay, and the pot is okay. Vim hasir o hakaf lo ayu bnei yoman. If either one is eno bnei ben yomo. And you don't have in the food shishim against the seer, against the pot and the spoon. The food is kasher, but the kelim do require hagala. You can't fix it. Okay. Sir Charis Oed Shem Vashlim Bo Basar Benitaz Al Dofanomi Vachut Chalav Mivar LaHalan Pamim Shigam HaTavshil Nesar VaSir Sari Chagala Mivcharis Ein Lo Takana. Okay. Sometimes we have to get to Lavi Bet, learn the details, but sometimes the Tavshil is Nesar and the pot requires Hagala. Okay. So I can't say.
Where's the hagala what does the hagala do with the meat and the dairy? Once you finish washing the meat plate, and what's gonna happen now? You want to put the dairy plate? Does it affect or does it affect?
I'm so sorry. Can you ask your question one more time?
My question: the washing the hagalah, does it have to be? Can you use it both at the same time in meat and dairy?
If there ain't no ben yomo, yes, you can.
At the same time.
If it's ain't no ben yomo.
Yeah. Correct.
If they're both ain't no ben yomo, then it's okay. Yes. If they're both ain't no ben yomo, then it's okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not 100% sure why, if you put the meat spoon in the dairy pot that's cooking parv and vice versa, why you need hagala in that case. Because it would seem to be that the ta'am from the dairy spoon, even if it's ben yomo, but the tam from the dairy spoon that goes into the food should be not barnat, and the tam from the pot that goes into the food should also be not barnat. Unless because they're going in at the same time, maybe that's the reason, because they're going in at the same time, so therefore it becomes asur. Maybe that's what it is. I have to review that.
What the example is, he's cooking something parv, and he's using both dairy and meat utensils.
Right, exactly. So I'm not really sure. Let me see if I can look it up quickly.
That was my question I had to ask you before.
No, you said there ain't no ben yomo. You said there ain't no ben yomo. I'm talking about when there are ben yomo.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ain't no ben yomo is different. If it is ben yomo, then it's a problem. So let's see.
I mean, it makes sense because don't we say that when it's hot, then it the flavor comes out? Because if you're cooking something, the pot's gonna be hot.
One second. No, but let's say a normal case of not bar not, right? So let's say I was cooking pasta in a meat pot, right? So okay. For Sfaradim, if I cook pasta in a meat pot, I can mix that pasta with cheese, right? Cheese proper, right?
Right.
So why would it be any different if I put my dairy spoon inside the pasta while it's in the pot? Why does that change anything?
You have a dairy spoon and a boiling pot.
Because it's really strong.
Right. But I'm saying, isn't the
clear your tongue.
The flavor that's coming into the flavor that's coming into the spoon is coming into the spoon via the pasta.
Yeah, but the pasta's on the fire.
So why does it make a difference?
I feel like, I don't know why, like I read this also when I go on, like Rabbi Abadi's sons run like a kashrut site. They answer a lot of questions. Kashrut.org. And like they love to ask whether something was clear Rishon or Klishon. If it wasn't clear Rishon, like everything goes. Like there's no transfer of taste. So maybe he's working under that same.
Okay, I hear that.
Maybe he's working under the same idea here. It wouldn't surprise me. He's very like he'll work with that those different.
Yeah, but again, that's in a regular case. Let's look at this case. Maybe this case will shed some light on the halacha. Look at Seif Hay over here. In Bishlumayim b'kedera chadasha. So I have a new pot and I cooked water in it. Pitach luba kaf cholevet, and I dip a dairy spoon into the pot. Ve'achar kach chazru bishluba mayim pa'am acheret. Another time. Pitach luba kaf shel basar. U'shtei hakapot hayu b'nei yoman. So I dip a meat spoon into boiling water, and then I dump out the water, and I dip a dairy spoon into boiling water. I can't use dairy. But I'm allowed to use it for parv. Now, what's going on here?
Whoa, that's weird.
Yeah, so let's see, Seif Hay. Okay, so yeah, this is a really long, shach, and this is not the place to read this really long shach, but no. Good to something to think about.
It's worse than his footnotes.
It's yeah, Bezer Hashem, when you guys learn, I mean, I'm sure I've learned the shach before, at least once or twice. But Bezer Hashem, when you guys get to your day and you do the shach, so then you'll remind me what the shach says. But either way, it should be whatever. I'll try to. Try to see if I discover anything new on this topic that I can share with you. Let's see if the Be'er Heitzev is briefer. Okay, so this is not so bad. So he says, okay, so that's the Shach's question, right? So he says, Shach hiniach divrei mechaber v'tzarech iyun. The ma'achar diga kan gimel notin tam. Echad hanichnas el hakaf u'me'akaf el hamayim. Okay, basically my question, right? The tam went into the spoon originally. Then it goes from the spoon into the water, from the water into the pot. By the time it gets to the pot, it's tam shlishi, right? So I should be able to cook whatever I want in that pot. It's tam shlishi, right? I'm allowed to mix it with meat proper. So why can't I mix it with something? Why can't I cook something meat in that pot? Okay, so that's the question. You can read the Spear Hitzav. He summarizes the shach a lot easier, a lot shorter, not easier necessarily, but shorter than reading the shach himself. Okay, anyways, it must be the reason, in this case, the reason why it's a problem is because since it's happening at the same time, it never becomes not bar not. You have to have like a stopping point for it to become not bar not. You have to have, it has to be, go into the let's say, the dairy goes into the spoon goes into the harv, period, stopped. And then something else comes along. But when the meat and the dairy are entering the spoon at the same time, so never becomes not bar not. It never has a state of where it doesn't have any time. Okay, now, irev tavshil, let's continue this note here. Okay, irev tavshil bisari bekaf etz chalavit bat yoma. So I have a dairy ben yomo kli, and I mix a tavshil bisari. Okay, dairy ben yomo kaf etz, and I mix a tavshil bisari. But lo ayav tavshil pi shishim yoter mashinichnas me'akaf lasir, and I don't have 60 times the spoon. Hatavshil asur ve'akaf tzricha agala. That everything's asur. If I have shishim against the spoon or the it's eno ben yomo, hatavshil kasher ve'akaf tzricha agala. Then it's okay. Hayta akaf tzricha agala mecheres ein latakana. But if it's made out of cheres, then you're stuck. Okay, let's see if we can finish these two paragraphs. Now, so far we spoke about mixing the keli and putting the wrong keli in the wrong pot, when there's parv in there, when there's not parv in there. So now, in nitaz rotev bisari, roteach al dofen shel sir matachet chalavi kar lehetach. So let's say some hot meat sauce gets sprinkled onto a cold dairy kli, or vice versa. Kivan shasir shekibatan netez hayakar, or tanitaz hayakar, since the kli that received the sprinkling, the splash, was cold, rak kli pato nifgema mehanitaz. So only the outside is affected. V'lachein ein tarich lahagil et kulo, you don't have to hagala, adai la'arot mayim rotchim mikumkum al makom shalav harotev nitaz. So you can do irui. V'kifi haklal kibolokach poto. The way the Tom goes in, that's the way the Tom comes out. It came in through Iroi, it comes out through Iroi. It came in through pouring, comes out through pouring. If you have close to you, this is what you do. Now, give us a rotev masir, so you dry the sauce from the pan, the pot, when you pour boiling water on that place, we pour a lot. Wow. We try to pour 60 times the space where the rotev was sprinkled. Interesting. If you're not sure if you have 60, then use a davar pogam, use soap, so that it will be pogam. So again, if you want to be kasher, this is if you want to kasher ben yomo. If you're kashering eno ben yomo, then you don't need the... You don't need to have shishim against the place where you're kashering. But he's saying that if you're trying to kasher ben yomo kli, so you should pour enough hot water that you 60 times the outer layer of the place where the not kosher mixture happened. Let's say I have hot out of the oven, really hot meat, and I make a mistake and I cut it with a dairy knife. If it's a clean knife, the meat is okay, right? Because it's eino ben yomo. Then the knife needs hagala. If the meat was cold, the knife needs to be cleaned very well, but you do not need...
Hold on, the knife is not ben yomo.
Again, if it's a ben yomo knife, 1 second. Yeah, so again, this must be his shita that metal is not polite. But for everybody else, if the knife was ben yomo, then you would have a problem.
I would argue that in this case, the sakin matechet is ben yomo, and here we have a difference because Well, no, not because it came out
of... Why is this going against? It's cold, no?
No. The first case, meat is hot.
Yeah, but the
look, the knife is cold.
You mean the knife is not ben yomo?
He's asking what if the knife is ben yomo. He doesn't distinguish.
I think he means it's not ben yomo, and that's the only.
I don't think so.
He doesn't say that. No, I think he's saying even. I mean, because he holds again that the masechah is not polite. So therefore, even a ben yomo knife is going to be. It's not going to. I'm sorry.
He mentioned it.
Bidiyavad. He holds that we assume. What do you mean?
Maybe. I mean, if we're being midayek and that, I don't think he's. I don't see him as specifically saying that, because from what I read of how he answers it later on, he doesn't hold it la lacha. He's just saying the fact.
But he would use it in a case where, like, the deed was done. I don't think he would stop you from eating
that. If you look at what I said last week, he quoted
Rav
Rabinowitz as saying that it doesn't need Hagalah. But I don't think he didn't say that.
I think...
No, but again, that's if the kli needs Hagalah. Here we're talking about whether or not the kli affects the food.
Right.
I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's necessarily the same thing. Right. Even if the kli itself does not require Hagalah, could be the kli affects the food, and therefore the food would be a problem, and therefore, or vice versa. Even if the kli needs Hagalah, the food would not be a problem. He'd be makil on the food. But again, the general accepted psak is that the knives are polit, and therefore, if you have a ben yomo, so then it's a problem. I don't think it necessarily would forbid the entire piece of meat, but you have to figure out how much of the piece of meat you would have to remove in order to make it kosher. Because the knife is cold, so I don't think it would necessarily affect the entire piece of meat, but you have to figure out how much you would have to remove, I think. Not 100%, maybe we are machmer, maybe we do hold the entire piece of meat as asur. I'm not sure.
So let's assume, but practically from a halachic standpoint, we can assume.
If your knife is ben yomo, then you're going to have an issue. If your knife is eno ben yomo, or if the meat is cold, so then it's a different story.
But he's dafka saying
you have a ben yomo dairy knife. I'm sorry.
He's saying dafka the meat isn't a problem with that knife.
Yeah, again, because again, I think this is all part of his shita.
Yeah, it's either his shita or he's talking about not ben yomo.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
His shita is not stum. If it was stum, he would have just said it in that chapter that Emil sent a picture of and said, it's not really the ma'asib, but he's using it in all of his halachot throughout the book. If he really didn't believe in it and hold it, he wouldn't have used it.
No. I'm not saying he doesn't believe in it. No. He believes in it. I'm just saying it's not. I'm telling you from a broader perspective. It's not psak mikubal. I'm saying it's not. That's not the. Mm. Yes, according to Rav Melamed. Yes, according to Rav Melamed, he means it. Of course, he means it. That he holds that if you use, I think it sounds like he's talking about even a ben yomo sakin that was clean, and you cut the meat with it, and it's a dairy knife. So then you would have to be kasher the kli, but you would not forbid the food, because just like all these other cases where any bidiyavad question, if the kli that you're using that really raises the question is metal, it sounds like he's mekel bidiyavad, mm-hmm. if the kli that you're using is metal. So yeah, in Achnavi, he definitely holds of it. I'm just saying, I don't think this is an accepted psak, and therefore, lemaaseh in your kitchen, if a dairy knife was used to cut a steak, and it's a hot steak, and it's a ben yomo dairy knife, I would ask a question how to best deal with that meat. But the meat is nothing that you definitely can't just say the meat is kasher and it's not a problem. In reality, it's actually quite rare to have a ben yomo dairy knife. It's very unusual to have a ben yomo dairy knife. Most of your uses of a dairy knife are going to be eno ben yomo, and actually. Cold. Most of your dairy knives, believe it or not, may not actually be dairy. Sorry to break it to you. because most of your dairy knives, you very unlikely you ever actually use it in a kishon. So that's actually, it comes up.
Unless you cut an onion.
Rav Melamed, that it's not really out
there. It's only really going to get, the only way to get a really Ben Yomo dairy knife is to take your big ziti out of the oven and cut it with your knife. That's basically the only, or whatever your pasta, your cooked dairy dish out of the oven, and which is mostly baked ziti or something of the sort, of eggplant parmesan, something like that, and then you cut it while it's still very, very hot with your dairy knife. That's basically the only way to get a Ben Yomo dairy knife. Almost all other uses of dairy knives are going to be parv. Chicken, it comes up, I mean, meat, it comes up a little bit more because you're more likely to cut something, you know, hot chicken or a hot piece of steak or something that comes out of the oven. You know, you want to cut the steak right off the grill, or you cut it on the grill, whatever. Okay, so then you have more of a Ben Yomo issue. But most situations, most of the times, your knives are not going to be Ben Yomo, and especially dairy knives may not actually even be meat or dairy to begin with. Whatever, they may not have any species to begin with. Okay, Chabra. Great learning with you, and I think every day we're one step closer to meeting in person.